What's up, everybody? This is the Couch Co-op Podcast, episode 11.
11!
Where we talk about the latest and greatest in gaming news. I'm Joe Nixon, and with me, as always, is Casey freaking Tap.
I thought you said nudes there for a second. When you said news.
I seem to convince...
I think that catches me off guard every time you say that, because I'm like, wait...
Nudes.
He wouldn't have said that.
What's the difference anymore, right?
Seriously, right?
How's it going, Casey? How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good? Pretty good?
Yeah, I mean...
Can't complain?
Yeah. I can't really complain about anything. I have some things to complain about, but I'm going to try to hold back on them.
That's usually...
For today.
Usually a good thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, no complaints. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm fine.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's on the agenda for today?
Well, you know, listeners, we always go through couchcoop.net. We post some news up there. We don't post nudes up there. We do not post nudes. It's
maybe
not that kind
of
website.
Maybe in the future.
Depends on how far we sell out.
It'll all be
staff. It's just
staff nudes. Yeah. We're not going to go out and take nudes from other people.
We aren't going to hack into the cloud and steal celebrities' nudes or anything like that.
Jennifer Lawrence. Okay. But anyways, yeah. No, it will be me naked on a table if there are ever nudes. Or under the table. Depends on if we're playing
Which there won't be ever nudes on the website. But
what if somebody hacks us and puts them on there?
Have you taken nudes recently? Don't answer that question. I don't want to know.
Have
the
I not taken nudes recently? I had to call a photographer for my last set of nudes. Professional nudes.
Anyways. CouchCoop.net is the place where you can get all the latest and CouchCoop is the place where you can get all the latest and greatest in gaming news. Or you can just listen to us talk about it for about an hour here on this awesome podcast that is slowly but surely improving.
Hey, to be fair, a lot of times we only talk about games for about 30 to 45 minutes, and then we just ramble about random things.
That's true. But this week we do have quite the hit list. I said it before we did the intro. Oh, no.
The hit list!
As always, we start the show off with the hit list. Today we have... 5 items on the hit list.
Oh, man.
First one, number one. Two big games came out this week. NHL 15.
First.
The very popular, because, you know, the other one's more important.
Save the best for last?
Yeah.
Okay.
NHL 15, the EA, you know, EA's hockey franchise, made its way to next-gen consoles this past week on Tuesday. A press release from EA states, "This is the start of a new generation of hockey video games. Electronic Arts Incorporated announced today that EA Sports NHL 15 is now available in retail stores throughout the North American region and for direct download on Xbox Live and PlayStation Store." So, from the players to the fans to the arenas to the revolutionary broadcast package, NHL 15 brings to life the sights, sounds, and feel of the fastest team sport on the planet like no other game has before. So, there was a lot of things that were actually missing from this game that people weren't too happy about. There's no season mode.
Hockey sticks?
There are hockey sticks.
Okay, good.
That's still in there, confirmed.
That would be a problem.
But just a lot of modes were missing. Like, the only one you could do was GM mode, and that's like, you usually don't play the individual season games in that mode, but you can, and that's the only way to play a season mode. Like, to go through a whole season of hockey with a
Interesting.
Team. There's just a lot of, like, missing things.
Doesn't make much sense.
For the last one, they had online multiplayer, but not just 1v1. It was like you filled out the team and played your spots on the team, if that makes sense. So
each
person had a player to control.
Oh, so it's like...
It's like playing hockey
like
online.
Multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not there. Which is weird. There's just a lot of missing
things.
That's
an interesting way to play sports games.
That'd be
online.
I would actually love to see more of that. That would be a way more fun way to play sports games.
If FIFA did that, that would be intense.
That'd be insane.
That would be intense.
That'd be crazy. But
don't pass it. I'm not ready.
But yeah. So a lot of people, you know, it looks beautiful, of course. It's an EA sports game. They always look really good.
Yeah, they do.
But there's just a lot of things missing from it, so keep that in mind if you're a hockey fan. You might just want to stick with NHL 14 and get more modes.
Yeah.
So
I went to the midnight release for that. No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. You went to the midnight release for Destiny.
Same night, though.
Which also came out on Tuesday.
Correct.
So Bungie's new shooter has been on our radar for quite some time with record-breaking pre-sales. So, yeah, we've been streaming that game for quite some time now,
yeah,
like
we
whenever we got the chance. And blah, 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 blah. In Destiny, you can explore Earth, the Moon, Mars, Venus, and much more with your friends in an online multiplayer first-person shooter. Yeah. So, good stuff, that Destiny. Really good stuff. So good, in fact, that it leads us into number two of the hit list.
Yes.
You like that segue?
Destiny related?
Good segue. Yeah, of course.
Good.
The segue. So the day one sale results for Bungie's new online first-person shooter are in, and Destiny has made over $500 million in the first day. We'll probably get the first week sales this Tuesday, and we shall let you know how crazy those numbers are.
Wow.
But this makes Destiny the fastest-selling new franchise of all time, stealing the cake from the former champion Watch Dogs earlier this year.
Wow.
So, and it beat it by a long shot.
Well, you know, and see, I'm not really surprised.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's surprising how much they made, but it's not surprising that this game was, that kind of blew everything else out of the water.
Right.
It was just...
Agreed.
I mean, honestly, I would have paid a full price just to play the beta.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would have paid $60 if they were like, you can play the beta, it's not the finished game, but it's going to cost $60. I would have paid for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it was just fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so... And CEO of Blizzard, or Activision Blizzard, Bobby Kotick, remarked on Destiny's huge day one success. He says, based on the extraordinary audience demand, retail and first-party orders worldwide have exceeded $500 million for Destiny. This industry milestone marks another blockbuster success for our company and demonstrates our unique ability to create some of the most successful entertainment franchises in the world. So, lots of crazy things. You know, Activision Blizzard's been on top of it with their franchises, even though this one was made by Bungie, but it was published by Activision. So they helped them out a little bit. Okay. Activision also gave us some stats regarding the midnight release, stating that over 11,000 midnight releases were held across 176 countries. Insane. Really? In the membrane. Pretty crazy.
That's intense.
And you were at one of those. How'd that go?
The release?
The midnight release, yeah.
It was, I mean, it was fun, but I mean,
now don't offend anybody.
You know, I'm not trying to. I let's put it this way. I love GameStop. GameStop does great releases, and I, you know, the people that work at my GameStop, awesome people. I don't have a problem with them. But I feel like midnight releases are just kind of going downhill. Like, they don't really seem like any of them are as fun anymore. In fact, whenever you go, like nowadays, and I think this is a technology problem, I think that so many people are so used to having something to do while they wait that they get, like, antsy. Like, you don't want to just sit and wait
right,
for something.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal for people. And I know whenever I was at GameStop, I anticipated that, and I took my iPad and was watching Forward Unto Dawn the entire time I was waiting. But, you know, GameStop did a really good job here in my home, in our hometown, our town. I don't know if they're hometown now, but they did a pretty good job. They had a entertainment rental company, like one of those, like Color Time, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can rent like TVs and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And pay them off. They had Color Time come in and bring in, I don't know if it was Color Time, but something like Color Time.
Yeah.
Come in and bring two great big TVs and put them back to back for us.
Nice.
And they were old. They were the old school like tube TVs, but they were like nicer versions of. They were nicer than yours.
Yeah.
They weren't like on par with mine.
I gotcha.
And so they were okay, and they hooked up some 360s to them and had tournaments going that were all, it was all free for all stuff, which I'm more of a
Halo team. Tournaments, right?
Yeah, I'm more of a team based guy.
They should have done teams.
They were playing
so that you couldn't screen sheet.
They were playing Halo 3.
Interesting.
It's very interesting that they weren't playing Halo 4.
Well, maybe because they didn't want to have to deal with people creating classes, blah, 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 blah.
Or you know what it could have been, actually, now that I think about it, that's the last one Bungie made.
Oh, yeah, that's
probably
true.
Probably doing Bungie-related. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I didn't even think about that whenever I got there. I was like, why are they playing the old version? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get that. But that makes a little bit of sense. Anyway, so they did a Halo tournament, which was very good. But I was told that everybody that signed up for the Halo tournament, whoever won, would get their game early and could go home early.
But that didn't happen?
I didn't see it happen. I guess not enough people showed up or signed up for it or something. I don't know, but they had people playing. It looked like it was random, mm-hmm. and then they brought in Buffalo Wild Wings, and they had two different kinds. They had honey barbecue, which is like the best ever.
Yo,
and,
yo.
And
boneless or boned?
And one more. They were traditional.
Traditional. Yeah. Good call.
It's boneless or traditional, Joe.
It's boneless or boned.
Know your terminology.
Or boneless and bone in.
If you ask them, they will say traditional.
Or just bone.
They will say boneless or traditional is the way they say it.
Or you could say boneless or bone.
Anyways, it doesn't matter. There could be a million different ones that you can say for that. But that's not what we're here to talk about. So basically they just they ran out of the honey barbecue and they still had like a full thing of, but they wouldn't let anybody get seconds and all this stuff. And they were very unorganized with the whole thing. They didn't have good.
It's kind of typical, though.
They didn't set up lines and stuff like that. They just kind of had an open store with two TVs in the middle of it, you know, and they had like food, but they didn't have a line for food. And they also didn't separate the what I guess passed for their line. Their food line was a bunch of people just kind of lined up on their own, but it was really like unorganized. That was also kind of mixing in with the line to finish your game.
Oh, okay. Like
so,
purchasing it.
Like they would, the people that were getting their food would like kind of, after they got their food, they would scoot over too close to the desk. And then people didn't know if they were trying to finish their thing out or if they were trying to just stand there and eat or what. And we couldn't figure it out. So they kept having to tell them, if you've got your food, move out of the way. Go get in the line if you need to get in line, but don't stand here because you're crowding the thing. Like I kept having to tell people, like, do this, do that, because people kept getting in the way.
Well, that usually happens at midnight releases.
Well, yeah, you know. But, I mean, whenever I was working for them, we set the little stands up that are inside GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
We set those up in a row so that you had to stand in a line.
Oh, gotcha.
So people couldn't kind of scoot in and out.
Right.
And that helped to guide the flow, you know. And not to mention, they have a really big store. So that means, like,
true, yeah.
people think that it's just because it's bigger, you can just pack in there, you know? So it's kind of hard.
That's probably against fire code right there.
Actually, no. I think that they could have the amount of people that were there, because somebody, they kept joking around about that. Oh, we were breaking fire code. And I was like, I don't think you have enough people in here to break the fire code yet. But yeah,
you got your game, so that's important.
It was fun, but another thing that they did that kind of threw me off was that they did instead of doing a line, usually you get there like 2 hours early and you stand in line.
Mm-hmm.
What they did was is you could come up there, and whenever you finished out your thing, they would put this little yellow tab on the top of your receipt, and it said like something something, and then it said group number, and it had a number on it.
Okay.
So I was in group number
nine.
So
they were like in nine groups.
There were 11.
Holy crap!
There were 11 groups, but there was about maybe 10 people in each group.
Okay.
So
not too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. And that's also, like, some of them were Xbox and some of them were PlayStation.
Right.
But they were all in the same group. And they had two registers open. So whenever they went in, they would be like five people would go to the Xbox line and five people.
Oh, okay.
So it really wasn't that bad. But at the same time, that even still kind of threw me off a little bit. It's a good idea, but it's one of those things, like, it really threw me off.
Mm.
My thing is, If I can tell you how I would set it up, what I would do is I would take all of my little stands, or I would go buy like danger tape from
police line.
Yeah, tape. Like police line tape, you know. And you just basically take those and wrap them around stuff. It's really cheap. It's good for setting up barriers.
Effective.
Yeah. So I would basically just run that from the actual like desk where the registers are. I would run that to just one game stand, wrap it around it, come back, put it right back on there. that gives you a boundary. Say, don't cross this boundary unless you're trying to do this. And if you are across the boundary, you should be in the line that's right there. Mm. And they should have done the same thing for the food line and ran that around the edge of the store.
See, that's the thing. I've never been to a midnight release with food.
I've been to a few, actually.
So, like, that, I've been that would be kind of tricky.
Buffalo Wild Wings, this is a first, because some people would just show up for the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, that's true. Honest.
But I've been one
They'd
with
be
pizza.
Like, where's the sports game?
I've been one.
Where is it?
Yeah, exactly. I've been to one with Buffalo Wild Wings. I've been to one with barbecue before, which was kind of weird when I was at College Station.
Interesting. Of course.
But it's
College
easy.
Station would
it's,
have barbecue.
It's easy because you can just have a crap ton of it and
yeah.
just put it in a big, like, bucket, and it's easier to serve, you know? But as far as the food line goes, what I would have done is what they should have done is as soon as you, like, finished out your thing, when they give you your receipt, they should have given you a little coupon or a little ticket. You can go to Walmart. You can buy a whole roll of blue or red tickets.
See, that's
for like $5, and you just take them. You have whoever finished out your thing. They just do a little initial on there, and then they give you your ticket. You take your ticket over there, and you can have one ticket or two tickets, however mm-hmm. much you want each person to have. Mm-hmm. Take your ticket over there, and you give it to them. When you give it to them, they give you your food. That way, you don't ever have to tell anybody that there's no seconds. If you don't have a ticket, you don't get a plate.
There you go.
So you get everybody gets one. And that's a really simple, easy way to deal with that problem.
But GameStop hates simple.
Yeah.
You know
everything's
that.
Complicated.
Anyways
I'll come back off that. It was fun, but it was also kind of like I didn't like to have to sit here with
right.
there were a bunch of strange people at the one I went to this time.
Understandable.
But yeah, so.
And also, yeah.
It was kinda, all the Nightcrawler people, you know,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
a little bit awkward.
Right. yeah.
But I was like, don't talk to me.
yeah. And then you had to go to the midnight release because, you know, your digital one didn't
yeah.
come until 2 in the morning.
Yeah, something about that Destiny or Bungie, I guess, because they're in the... Because
they're on the West Coast in the...
Yeah, they're on the Western time zone or whatever.
Yeah.
And this is how I figured this out. They're 2 hours behind mm-hmm. us. Well... My game wasn't going to unlock until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, that's 2 p.m. for them.
Mm-hmm.
But ours is going to be 2, or it's 12 p.m. for them.
Right.
It would be
yeah.
2 a.m. for us. And I was like, I don't want to wait that long.
Yeah.
I'll be able to go to GameStop,
before,
you know, in like 30
yeah.
minutes
exactly.
before my game unlocks. So I went and did that, and I came back. I actually got home around, I didn't even start playing until about 1 o'clock. I got home around 12:45, which... isn't good, but it's not having to wait till
right.
2.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's
yeah.
better than what I was dealing with. But that was actually one of the slowest releases I've ever been to. It's a lot faster with the line. But but anyways, but yeah, so then I got home, and I put the disc version in after opening the box and, you know, geeking out over that.
Right.
It was really cool.
And smelling that.
I didn't smell
terrible
it until you
map.
Said something like the next
Dude, that
day.
Map smells awful.
yeah, it's pretty bad. Ugh. But it's made out of a weird texture. That's probably what the smell
it's
comes
from.
It's
like a slimy paper.
Yeah.
It's gross.
But yeah, so anyway, so
it's
I got it
so
home.
Gross.
I plugged the disc in, and my game actually, my PSN copy actually downloaded 4 days before the game came out, and it just was locked. So, that's not a big mm-hmm. deal. So I had the game already downloaded, but I didn't want to wait till 2 to play it. So I put the disc in, right? And I was like, well, I'll just play on the disc for now, and then I can play on that once it unlocks. But it told me that I had to delete the digital copy. So I deleted it so that I could play the disc earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I try to re-download it, it says that it's already downloaded. So I click on it, and it says no disc inserted. So I don't know. I don't know how to get it to go back.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to have to call either Bungie or PlayStation and figure out a way to, like forcefully re-download it. Hmm. Because the problem I'm worried about right now is, if I try to re-download it, is that going to wipe all my characters out?
No, it should all be saved online.
See, that's what I think. I think that's how... I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
But I think you're right about that. But at the same time, like, I've been grinding, and I really don't want to take that risk.
Yeah.
So, but I don't want to mess up my disc copy, you know? I want it to be
right.
nice. So... But yeah, so that, I don't know why it did that, but it's really weird because I've never had anything do that before.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably just some weird glitch, like saying, wait, the game's already here. Why are you trying to put a disc in and
yeah,
play it type
yeah,
of thing?
It's very strange.
But
I had a similar problem whenever I downloaded Ghost Recon's
Advanced Warfighter.
Is that what it was?
That's the or one Future Soldier.
It's that one with that over-the-shoulder view.
Like it's always over the shoulder?
Yeah.
That's Future Soldier.
Future Soldier, yeah. It had the little glowing things mm-hmm. around the gun and stuff. Great game. And I tried to download it. I tried to download it from the PlayStation Store, and it was more expensive on that. You know, I was just right. like, you know, it's a good game, and I want to have it, so I'm going to download it. It never worked. Mm. It would get like into the first loading screen and then die. So I was like, well, I guess I'm going to have to go buy the freaking thing now because it won't load. So I had to go buy the disc. I ended up paying more than it would have been for like a brand new copy.
Yeah. Don't worry. Digital content will get there eventually.
Yeah, it's got little hiccups.
Yeah.
But, so, you know.
You're working on it.
Also, just a quick update from my last Destiny thing that we talked about.
Yeah.
The PlayStation Network stuff uh-huh. that I said that you were supposed to get, apparently it's exclusive to it in the way that you can get it on PlayStation, but you still have to find all of it.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't tell you. So basically I bought an extra copy for no reason.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So that made me even more mad. And I researched and researched, and nobody who had answers, they didn't understand. Like, nobody even was asking the questions that I asked. I was like, how come nobody's found it? Nobody's found the gun. Nobody's found the armor. Nothing.
That's
like,
pretty weird.
Why? That's awkward, right? Uh-huh. That's weird. But then I finally found something that said that the guns will become available because they're supposed to be rare or legendary items. You have to be a certain level to get them.
Mm.
So I figured, okay, well, maybe I'll just have to be that level. And then the postmaster will say, hey, you got this new stuff, and you can pick it up. But Then I was reading into somebody else who had already gotten to that level, and they said that they never got it, they never found it, whatever, you know. And, you know, I guess that's fine, but it's just one of those things like...
You'd think it would just be at one of the vendors, and you go up and collect it or something.
Exactly. See, they didn't convey very well the fact that it was a PlayStation exclusive because you can't get it in the Xbox.
Right.
You can get it in the PlayStation, but you have to actually find it.
Yeah.
So the odds of actually getting that stuff, especially a full suit of armor, like
slim to none.
Yeah, exactly. You've got, what, 5 pieces plus a cape that's supposed to go with that for the hunter, and then you're supposed to get an assault rifle and a pistol. Well, both of those are also ones that you have to find. So far, the only thing that I found that I actually got when the game came out was I can play the Strike on Mars.
Right.
That's
yeah.
the Dust Palace. It's mm-hmm. like the exclusive one. I can play that. And there's also, I think it's called Blue Exodus, which is a multiplayer map. And I've already played that. And it's actually pretty good, to be honest.
Well, at least that stuff's still there.
Yeah. So now I'm just basically like holding a grudge, and I'm like, I need to find these weapons or I'm going to be mad. So that's what I'm focusing on, is that I want to find the Hawk Moon and the whatever else the other one's called. I don't even
because they look dope.
The Hawk Moon's the revolver, and it looks sick.
Yersh.
It's amazing. But anyways, that's enough about Destiny, I guess.
Number 3 of the hit list.
Destiny. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Ubisoft has released a gameplay commentary for a new type of mission that will be available in Assassin's Creed Unity. This is very enticing. Heist missions are a new replayable mission type where players have to find valuables, steal them, and escape the area without being seen. So this is actually pretty cool.
Screams us.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
And you can check out this video on couchcoop.net, by the way. But excuse me. So basically, like there's a group of Templars in this area. And you have to go in and steal their treasure or whatever, and then escape without being seen.
Yep.
And the way it works is that every time the replayable in the way that every time you do it, guards will be in different positions, the treasure will be in a different spot.
Yep.
That type of thing, and you lose points every time you're detected. So like
it's basically for at least from what I've seen, it's basically like if you've ever played Tenchu Z. The like ninja game.
Yes.
That's basically what it is. You can climb on top of the buildings. There's like different pathways you can take. And you have one goal. It's either find this, kill this guy, blah, 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 whatever. But if you're noticed, you lose points.
Right.
But I think this one's a little more up because they say like if you get noticed to a certain point, like you lose.
Right, yeah.
Period.
Like once you drop below a certain threshold, then
yeah,
you know, you have to start over. But I believe each mission is involved in a different interior also. So like you go in, you break in first of all, and then you have to sneak around on the inside and then sneak out and escape the area. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm down with that. Sounds good.
It's definitely. Sounds awesome. Go watch the video on couchcoop.net. And we are on to number 4. Another Ubisoft trailer. Ubisoft has released a new trailer for The Crew, showing off social elements of the open-world racing game title. You can also check that out on couchcoop.net. This is pretty cool, because this is actually a racing game I'm looking forward to.
I have seen the stuff that we've posted.
Yeah.
But I haven't really seen anything else for this game.
Well, like, the beta, I think it's still going on for the PC, and it should be coming to Xbox One and PS4 at some point, but it just looks awesome, because it's like, it's what I want a racing game to be, like, hey, here's a car, go drive it around, but it's like, now it's like, go drive it around in areas that look familiar to you, like New York City and Chicago.
Well, another thing that I think is pretty interesting about it is that they say that you can heavily customize your car.
Yeah, you can make it like a rally car or a straight street car. Yeah.
I love that. I'm all about customization on right. everything I play. If I can customize like anything, I'm that guy that will sit in Skyrim and like detail every single right. thing.
And they say like you can either do like broad tweaks, like say you want your car to be off-road, pick the off-road package, buy it, whatever. But you can also do like minuscule things, like go in and tweak the engine and the type of tires you have, the brakes, chassis, all that stuff.
You don't know, you don't even know car customization until you've played Need for Speed Shift 2. I remember me and Matt used to sit there.
Yeah, yeah.
You could tweak like the engine, the shocks, like it was like actually working on a car. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anything about it. I had to sit down with Matt, and Matt would explain to me, well, yeah, if you tweak this, if it's tighter, then it makes this worse, and if you make it looser, then it makes this thing more open.
Right.
And I was like, dude, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, you really have to know what you're doing, or just sit there and
exactly.
tweak things.
But what I like about The Crew is that it caters to both parties. You can go in there and get into the nitty-gritty of customization, but if you're like me and just want to go drive around, find my hometown in this game, then
yeah.
you can just...
We're not going to find
yo,
Scurry.
Yo, I want the off-road.
Definitely
dude,
not finding Scurry.
Dallas is one of the main cities.
Yeah,
so
but Scurry, there's going to be a blank spot
dude,
there.
Dude, they have... I've been
it's
watching
gonna be,
some...
It's going to be one road and just going to be a bunch of trees lining the...
I know, but I've seen some streams and they have some like...
And slums.
Like suburbs and small towns. Like they have the names of some of these small towns.
Really?
Yeah. Like... And the fact that Dallas is in the game, that's exciting for me.
Do you think maybe that the names of these small towns come directly from the people that made them? Like, maybe it's the towns that they grew up in?
I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Ubisoft is a huge company.
It's a big company. That's what I was asking, because they could take people from all over the world
right.
and say, like, hey, you know, this guy came from Russia. What's that little town that you were from? Oh, okay, let's put it in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
But I'm not sure, because it just seems like they hit the important parts. So, like, they'll be – Dallas will be there, of course. And then you'll have the little suburban areas, you know, like the Highland Parks and all that stuff. They'll probably have, like, a Mesquite-type area. I don't know if it'll have the name. And then they have, like, the rules. So, like, each city has, like, the layers that it does in real life.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. I'm super, super excited for this game just to – because I want to drive coast to coast.
So if you drive through some of the ghetto areas of like Dallas, will you get shot at?
I don't know. I was there the other day and I almost got shot.
That's exactly what I'm
saying. Yeah. So,
not saying Dallas is a ghetto place.
Just
in
South
general,
Dallas.
But all
Beltline South.
Yeah, it's
kind of
it can
sketch.
Be kind of ghetto, yeah. And when we say ghetto, we don't mean that places are ugly or anything. We're
no,
just saying
we're
that
saying
some,
like
some sketchy stuff can happen.
Yeah,
there.
But
but all towns have that. All big
right,
cities have
exactly.
that kind of stuff. So,
but I'm just really
I'm not trying
pumped.
To hate on Dallas.
I'm really pumped to drive around a virtual Dallas. At
what
some
kind of
point.
Car do you want to drive?
What kind of car? That's a great question. If they have a Scion XB, I'll just.
You're gonna drive. You're gonna make your own car. And
yeah.
Drive
why not? That'd
oh,
be freaking
God,
hilarious,
dude. You could have any car in the game, and you're like, I want a little crappy Scion.
Either that or Dodge Challenger. I like those cars.
Okay, well, I guess I'll
make it a beefy off road.
They're not. I guess they're not as bad if it's in a video game.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It can never be that bad in a video game unless they made them crappy on purpose.
And You know, it would be awesome if I turned this sign on into like a rally car and just took it off road.
Yeah, basically make your car what you would want it to
be.
Yeah,
exactly.
It'd be awesome.
But no, I'm super excited for that game. It looks awesome. Gonna be great. And plus, like, the Badlands part of California, you know, the dry lake bed and everything, looks like the funnest place to be because it's just like huge open area. Just
like drifting
dirt forever, and you can just drive around in circles.
It's like the what's that thing called? The salt, salt grounds, or
Death Valley.
It's like where they go and they race, like,
yeah,
like motorcycles and cars and all kinds of stuff.
The salt lens, or something like that.
Something like that. I don't remember what it's called,
but
I saw a movie one time where a guy raced the Indian or something like that.
It
was about a guy, he was racing a motorcycle that was, it was called an Indian or something. Yeah, I think there's a number. I don't remember exactly.
No, that's racist.
No, I mean, it was pretty cool, actually. It was one of those motorcycles where, like, it had a shell on the outside of it. And you would put the helmet on, and you would slide down inside of it. And you're basically, the only thing poking out of the hole was your helmet and your visor. And they said that bike got up to, like, I think, like 200 miles an hour.
Dang.
And I was like, that's crazy. But
yeah.
But that was the company that made it, was Indian something. Right? I'm not sure. But it's a pretty good movie.
I'm like... I don't know if a lot of people understand, like, the crazy amount of work that has gone into this game. Like, actually making a rough cut, basically, of America.
Yeah, all the research is just
It's going to be fun just to drive around and feel how each city's different.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. So, yeah, that's number four. Go check out that trailer on couchcoop.net. Number five, this one's kind of just like a general announcement. For the past 2 months, once a month, we've been doing a live stream entitled Bourbon and Video Games, where we just get drunk and play video games.
I would say get drunk. I say we drink and play video games, because
it's true.
We haven't really gotten drunk yet.
Yeah, that's true.
I think
we drink alcohol and play video games.
I think if we want to try to get to the level where we are drunk and playing video games, maybe we should start off by taking a shot something. Cause
we can do that.
Maybe just one. I don't want to start doing like a row of shots.
Yeah.
Maybe like one shot, and then we can drink the way we would drink.
Yeah.
Also, I think I have to start mixing mine because I forgot about mine yesterday. I got it. I got ice in it because I like mine cold.
Right.
And but the bottle wasn't cold, so, you know, no harm, no foul. Just put ice in it. No big deal. So I put ice in there, and then I forgot that I had it because the only table that I could set it down on was behind me. And my ice melted, and then, like, it made it cold, but after it melted, it still sat there long enough to where it became warm again. So not only was it watered down, it was hot. So it kind of sucked. I was like, oh, I don't want to drink it.
But yeah, we do this stream once every month, and it's usually at the beginning of the month. And so just tune in. You know, we post on Twitter and Facebook.
Anytime we stream, tune in.
Yeah.
You know.
Please.
Yeah, God. I feel like we're saying it over and over.
But yeah, so.
Nobody's listening.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, we're all alone.
Yeah. I think my dad listens to like every other podcast.
Wait, let's just.
Every fourth podcast.
Let's just pause and see if we can hear our listeners. Nope. Nothing.
Not here. Silence.
So that's the hit list. It took us a good amount of time to get through the hit list.
Sometimes quiet is violent.
took us 35 minutes to get through that.
Not bad.
Good stuff.
Good stuff to talk about.
So, now is where we go into topic of the week.
Now, once you say, I want you to say what the topic is, then I have an important question to ask before you go into detail.
Okay. So, topic of the week is game franchises we would reboot.
And who we would want to reboot them, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so my...
So the three aspects that you have to cover, or four aspects, is who's going to develop it.
Right.
Who, like,
I was trying to get ready for it. I have things pulled up so I can remember what I want.
Oh.
But I didn't know there was going to be four. So go ahead.
Who's going to develop it? What gameplay features do you want in the story? Oh, so just three. Just three.
Three, okay. And four. When do you want it to come out?
Yeah. Go.
Now. Do it now. okay, my question is, wait. I had a question. Okay, here's my question. Do you want to do multiple games, or are we going to do one each and just talk about why and
we can go back and forth
in our history?
One.
Okay, well, I only have one right now.
Okay.
That comes to mind. And it's actually because we just talked about it the other day.
Okay.
One game that I would love to have rebooted, I think it would be the greatest game ever to reboot, would be Conquer Live and Reloaded.
Oh, okay.
I know you didn't play
it. I never played it, but I've seen it.
Game is great. And it's one of those things, like, they even had multiplayer on it. And the multiplayer was so much fun. It's actually one of, as far as I can tell, it was originally made called, Conquer, I don't remember what the first one was called. It's Conquer something. Conquer's Bad Fur Day is what it was called. And it's this little orange squirrel. And
I thought he was a fox.
No, he's a squirrel.
Oh, okay.
Little orange squirrel, and he's just raunchy and ill-tempered and just... He's just everything that you would want out of a funny character in
right.
a video game. He's hilarious. And I didn't play the first one. I think I may have played like a little bit of the first one that I can remember. But then when they did Conquer Live and Reloaded, it was basically it's a remake of the game, but I think they added a few new things in there. But the original one was called Conquer's Bad Fur Day, and it came out for the Nintendo 64. The Live and Reloaded has new multiplayer mode and, you know,
right.
came out on Xbox. Mm-hmm. So, basically, higher resolution, stuff like that. But they actually remade the game. They didn't just make the graphics better. They actually completely remade the game, which is one thing that I loved about it. And the multiplayer, you can run around and you can pick your classes. So, there was like a sniper class, a grunt class. That had just was like basic stats, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you could be the little stealthy guy, and the stealthy guy only had a sword. You could like be invisible for a certain amount of time, like holding your breath with a sniper, stuff like that.
That's pretty cool.
You could be a big guy with like a chain gun or something like that. Like it was funny stuff, but it was all funny because you're a bunch of squirrels fighting teddy bears.
That's funny.
So it was really crazy. And but the original the game. Basically, you would come out and in the beginning, your only weapon that you really use for like the longest time is like a frying pan. You just beat the piss out of people with a frying pan. And then eventually you come in and you start doing movies. Like I'll show you this real quick, a picture of the cover. It was they basically did Saving Private Ryan. You know,
that's pretty funny.
And yes, you did storm the beaches in this game.
As a squirrel.
It was hilarious. That's it's so funny. And I don't remember how he got into it, but like he would fall into these random like movie scenarios and like not know why he was there. And it was hilarious. He'd be like, wait a minute. And then he would just go with it. You know, he's like,
that's funny.
Screw it. I'm going to make the best of it. But one of the best ones that they did in the game, and this is probably my favorite level, was they remade the first Matrix.
Oh,
and what they did was, dang. You know the part where him and Trinity walk into the little lobby area and they go through the two, they're wearing the black trench coats.
With the pillars.
And the pillars, you know, they shoot at the pillars, yeah. The pillars fall, and everything goes into slow-mo, right? You know, that's how the Matrix works. Well, in this, you walk through the thing, and he instantly just starts unloading on people in there. And then at the very end is the elevator, and the guys start rushing out of the elevator and shooting at you. Well, the way that you get past, like, each pillar is like a wave kind of thing.
The way
you get past it is Conker runs up to the wall and does the Trinity thing where he runs up the wall and flips upside down. Everything goes into slow-mo. All the bullets are coming at you in slow-mo, and there's little bitty, like, circle waves coming off the back of them. So you're, like, trying to dodge them, and you're like... And you have the little like TMP looking guns like he had when he pulled out of his jacket, and you're just like, grrr. But it was one of the best things ever, and it was epic. But if I could have a game remade right now, I would want them to remake this for Xbox, PS4, I don't care, just one of the new consoles. I wish they would remake it, and I would love for Gearbox to do it.
I think Gearbox
would nail it.
That's a pretty good one.
I think it would be great because they're really good with their kind of comedic
kind of
thing. And the kind of animation that they have is sort of similar to how it was. Conquer Live and Reloaded kind of looked like a better quality version of like Banjo-Kazooie kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were both originally for the Nintendo 64, but... whenever Xbox came back and they redid it, it had better, like a lot better graphics from the Nintendo 64, but it still had that kind of like cartoony look to it. I think Gearbox could do it. It's a different art style, But I think they could pull it off. Yeah. They're good with that kind of like cartoony look.
I think they would be able to do that pretty well.
I think it would be really good. And I would love to see that sometime in the
near future.
What
movie scenarios would you want to see Conker in?
Honestly, same thing. Exactly.
The exact same.
Yeah,
so you just
exact same storyline. The storyline's amazing.
You would want like an up-resed, newer-looking Conker, basically.
I would say, yeah, up-res. I want it to look newer, but I also would like for them to do like... I think it would be cool if they put you could like get different weapons in the game. Because you can pick up different things here and there, but your frying pan is always your main one. And what happens is in the beginning of the game, you go into this little room, and there was stuff on the walls. And you go and you pick up the frying pan, and he's like, hey, I like this. And he carries it with him. So I wish that you could go in and get different things, like maybe like goofy stuff, like a rubber chicken or like a bat.
And you
with,
have it for the rest
a,
of the
bat
game.
With nails or something. Yeah, like stuff like that. But like I'm telling you, one thing about Conker was that it was one of the most bloodiest games I've ever seen him operate.
Really?
It was just, he tore up all kinds of stuff. It actually says, it says, warning. It's got a little crosshair with a bear in it. It says, this game is not for children under age 17.
They probably had to put that on there because it's a squirrel. Like, it looks like a kid's game.
Yeah, it does. It looks totally, it looks like a kid, like a kid's game about war. Basically.
Yeah.
Like a really childish
like
version of it. But I'm telling
Sarge's
you.
Sarge's Heroes or something.
Look, when you're shooting them, it's like buckets of blood. Like, like just popping out of them. Like, more blood comes out of them than should be in their body. That's crazy.
That's pretty funny.
It's like the old cheesy movies whenever somebody would get their neck
cut,
and it would be like, just like spraying out. It goes everywhere.
That's pretty funny.
Great game.
If it came out, I would definitely give it a shot, but I'm not going to find an original Xbox.
If they would at least take it and fix it to where that you could download this game, the original Xbox game, if they would just at least move that over so that I could play it on the 360 or the Xbox One, I would pay $100 to replay that.
$100. That's quite a bit of cash for...
Dude, I'm telling you, you don't understand the level of epicness that this game was. You talk to Connor about it and he'll explain it.
Fair enough. Well, mine also comes from my childhood.
Yep.
It's a PS2 game. You know, I was a Sony kid.
I think I know where this is going.
I don't know if you do know where this is going.
I might.
So... You know, PS2 was the, like, there was the peak of movie video games was definitely on that generation of consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but some of my favorite ones to play were the Lord of the Rings games.
Okay.
So, like, the Two Towers and the Return of the King. I was never able to get through the Fellowship of the Ring. That was a difficult one. But,
lame.
Hear me out. I want them to completely redo the entire trilogy of games in one game.
Okay.
Okay, follow me. And I want you to only play as Frodo. Now hear me out. So PS2, like during that generation of games, it was all about being the biggest, baddest, toughest person there was. And so like they wanted you to be the guy with all the power. So, like, you know,
exactly.
In those games, at least in Two Towers and Return of the King, you would be, you know, Aragorn or Gimli or Legolas.
Yeah, you could pick
You'd be one of the big main guys. But now, games are taking an interesting turn and taking power away from the player and seeing how creative they can be with the situation. So I think it would be fun to play as a hobbit throughout the entire trilogy and see, like, what kind of gameplay mechanics people would want. Like, be able to play with.
Yeah.
So, like, hiding from enemies or even, like, maybe you want to be, like, a crazy hobbit like Merry and then just jumping on orcs and stuff. Or maybe you want to be sneakier and smarter and use your allies to help get through stuff or something. I don't know. But since Monolith is already making a Lord of the Rings game, they're making, you know, the Shadow of Mordor game.
Yeah.
I would like to see them do it. They have a cool take or a cool look on the Lord of the Rings universe from what I've seen so far.
Yep.
I think they could do something pretty cool with the Hobbit side of the game. Like, I want to be with Frodo
underdog
and Sam throughout that whole story. So, like, we don't, like, You never cut away.
Don't break contact the entire game.
Exactly. You are always that character throughout the entire thing. So, like, you know these guys are doing something over here. Maybe you see glimpses of it whenever he puts the ring on or something. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Who cares? But I just wanted to be, like, almost like The Last of Us. Like, that companionship that you felt during that entire game, but with Sam and Frodo. Like, do something like that. And then, like, make me cry again.
That would be good. I agree. That would be a good game.
Yeah.
That would be a really good game.
It could almost even be like survival horror. Like, you have to find food until you get to the elf place, and then they give you that bread and whatnot. Or if you're climbing through those mountains and it's getting really cold, you have to find someone. I don't know. Do something cool. Like, just try some stuff out.
I got you. Explore
it.
Explorative.
Yeah, there you go. Explorative.
I don't think that's a word. I'm not sure. But anyways, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I would love to play something like that. I think it would be fun. I like those kind
of
games.
Yeah, it would take it away from the hack and slash Lord of the Rings. I want to see like a more like...
Use your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, you know...
More storyline, less fighting.
They had to outsmart the spider. I can't remember the spider's name.
I don't know. Precious. Oh, that's the ring.
But, you know, they would have to outsmart their enemies more than they could take them on.
Yeah.
So I think it would be cool to do.
Yeah, except for Sam, because he was like, I'll fight anything.
Exactly.
I don't care. I'm awesome.
Sam's a ride or die.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's the hero of the
good
whole
guy,
movie.
That Sam.
Stole the show. But, yeah. I'm trying to... I had another one, but I just lost it.
I got one.
Okay.
And this isn't necessarily... I mean, it is a remake, but it's kind of a different... game, I guess.
Okay.
Like, it's kind of what I wish it would have been.
Okay.
And that is, I wish, this is a hope and a dream for me if they would do this, but I hope that the people who made Assassin's Creed Black Flag, the exact people who made that game,
yeah,
I want them to come together and remake that game in the Firefly universe.
Okay.
That would be intense.
So you want Ubisoft to do a Firefly... ship fighting, smuggling type of game.
Yeah, the ship to ship battle is not my biggest thing, but I like that you could
steer the ship,
do what you want on the ship. And I know that that Serenity didn't have guns. I get that,
right?
But like something along those lines, because they're very good at doing storyline stuff, and they're also really good at doing like fighting kind of stuff. And I would be very interested to see them do like gun battles. But I think that basically, Black Flag was a good, like, it was basically like Firefly, but it was a older version of it. You know, all they had was ships and swords.
They were pirates.
Yeah, all they had was ships and swords and cannons. But I think that if they did it in the future and they made that game, it would basically be Firefly. Basically.
I'm done.
So, make that game and use Firefly as your basis.
Yeah. Although I will disagree with you. I don't want Ubisoft to do that, because they might mess it up some way.
Well, anything could probably mess it. That thing has such a big following that I think anybody could mess that game up easily.
Right, yeah. But that would be cool to have a Firefly game. Like, not even, like, you don't even play as, like, what if it was more like an RPG, like Mass Effect, and you get to assemble your own crew and make choices. So let's have BioWare do a Firefly RPG.
Okay.
Where you start out as a new captain of ship, and the first thing you do, you start by picking your ship. Like, you're in a shipyard with a bunch of junkers.
How about this? I would even say this. That's a good idea. But I think it's that if you... It's in the Firefly universe. So you could even call it Firefly. I think that if you did it that way, if you pre-ordered or if you got the special edition,
you could get
that's the only way you could get Serenity. And maybe not like,
or if you beat the game and you want to go through it again.
Well, you can get Serenity, like Serenity. If you beat the game, you get Serenity, like the actual ship.
Oh, okay.
But if you pre-order, you can get a Firefly
model.
Class ship,
yeah, I got you.
That ship, but you make it your own. Mm. And if you beat it, it unlocks like the actual ship. Like if you're on the inside of it, it has all the same colors, everything inside there. And like if you go up to the rooms, it'll say like Mal's room. Mm. Jane's room, stuff like that.
But here's the I would say that we should...
And it looks crappy on the outside.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole game.
I would say it should take place before the show.
Yeah.
All right. And so, like, maybe you run into a few characters before the show even started, you know, before they met the chick and her brother,
mm-hmm.
you know, I like that could be really, really cool. Like, just like say Preacher, you know, he's still looking for another ship to go on, like before then, and maybe you take him around for a few years or so. But that'd be cool because Firefly was all about bouncing the captain, you know, and the relationships between all
characters. Yeah, the relationship's what really gave.
And BioWare's really good at that, from looking at Mass Effect and stuff like that. That could be totally awesome. I agree. We need a Firefly game.
I think that would be great. I saw something about that somewhere. Somebody made a meme or something of it. And ever since then, like, that's all I can think about. When I think about people that are making Assassin's Creed, I'm like, they could have went that route with Black Flag. I think they did a great job with Black Flag because of the relationships in the storyline.
Yeah. See, like, I never finished it, so.
Oh, my God, Joe. It was amazing. I almost cried at the end. It was great.
Let's see. So, another one that would be good to reboot. I'm trying to remember my old PS2 library because I don't want them to reboot anything.
Anything too new is just like,
yeah.
Like, why? I mean, it came out 5 years ago.
Exactly.
You can still play it.
Right.
Like that game.
Of
course, the Halos are being remade.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. They're being
remastered is a better term.
Yeah, remastered.
You know, one thing that bums me out a little bit is that there hasn't really been a good Terminator game. I would like to have a good Terminator game.
I think my
don't even use the movie storyline, but do like a Terminator game.
Yeah, my thing is I think that would be, to an extent, I think that would be, they would make it more of like a zombie game almost.
Yeah.
Because
that's what they were like on the PS2 one I played, it was like zombies.
They could either shoot
guns slowly.
Yeah, it would either be like playing, if they only had one Terminator, if they took that route, that like this is the bad guy,
mm-hmm.
it would be more like Slenderman or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if they did a lot, it would probably be more like a zombie game. Because if there's that many Terminators and they're actual Terminators, you're not going to survive that. Not just you and one person.
Yeah.
There's no way. You'd have to have an army to beat those guys.
It just bums me out. Because that first shot in Terminator 2.
That's a very.
The battle scene. Like, that would be, like.
That's a very, like. Like, if people were going to make that into a game.
People would get pissed.
You better. Yeah, you better make it really carefully. Because it's going to be, like, you're going to piss a lot of people off. For even trying to, like, download it. You better not even try.
Now I'm just, like, stuck. I can't even think. I'm trying to remember my PS2 library, what games I played the crap out of.
You know what game I would really like for someone to remake? And I don't even care who. It could even be the original guy that made it.
Who? Or what?
I made a game with zombies in it.
Oh, my gosh.
I wish they would re-release that as a full game. From indie to full game. It was awesome. I loved that game. It was great.
Gave me a headache.
Same guns, everything.
Gives me a headache.
Same guns, different level. They could call it, I made a second game with zombies in it.
I guess so.
It would be awesome.
But
I would
buy
it.
That game will give you seizures, even if you don't have epilepsy.
Yeah, I never got one, so I don't know. I played all the time.
Gosh. let's see. Games for movies, or not games for, games to reboot. Gosh. I'm still stuck on the Lord of the Rings one, man. Like, I really want a good Lord of the Rings.
I think it would be good.
And I'm holding out for Shadow of Mordor because that game looks excellent.
What about, I thought you were going to take this route. What about Shadow of the Colossus?
See, that one still doesn't need to be remade.
You think it's still
good? Like, even, I was even, like, puzzled that they, like, I get why they did the port because it made money. But, yeah. it still looks dated, but it still looks beautiful, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, that game. That game, like, even on the PS2, if you go back and play it on the PS2 right now, it still looks gorgeous. So, and, like, they have it on PS3, so I don't think they need to redo it. It would be cool to see a different take on it, though, I guess. Like, maybe with a more of, like, an artsy, cel-shaded style. I don't know. Yeah. But I really don't want them to touch that game ever again.
I got one that I think would be interesting. Well, not really interesting. I just think it would be fun if they'd redo it. The original Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Yes.
The original, where you could customize your cars and you do it by taking out people on the list.
Yeah.
I liked
that.
That
was
one.
A good game.
The new one that they came out with not too long ago, like a few years ago.
It was like Burnout.
It wasn't that good. Yeah. It was all free roam. The whole thing was free roam, but you couldn't like keep your cars.
Right. You couldn't even customize your car.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It was bad. Like everything you got was like a stock car.
Yeah. Why it's like, you can drive through gas stations and change the colors.
Yeah,
like, okay.
that's it. Well, that wasn't... Oh, yeah, no, that was Most Wanted, wasn't it? It was just...
Most Wanted was a really good racing game, though. That's for sure.
I did like the storyline on it, but I just... It's like, that's not what it's about, you know?
It's about the cars, man.
Yeah.
So good. And you could drive one of the 18-wheelers in that game, too.
I really wish that they would redo that one, because I... Not even, I would just say even remastered, if they would just make it look better.
Yeah.
And put, same car, same people, whatever. Just put them in there and make it to where I can play on my Xbox One.
Right, yeah. I don't know. There's just like too
many.
Man,
you came up with the topic and you're drawing blanks.
I know. Like, I'm trying to think. Because.
I'm dropping left and right over here, man.
Yeah, you got the Firefly. And the...
I've got some good ones going.
All I got is freaking Lord of the Rings.
Some good ideas. You got a game where they're going to be walking the whole time.
Dude, that
mine has action.
My game's going to be touching as though. All right, 58.
I haven't said one.
I know. You, it's my turn to it's my turn to say one.
Oh man. Yeah.
But that'd be such a good one. But I really like the one we're going to put all of our money into is Firefly made by BioWare.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
That would be good.
Customize the ships.
Or, you know what else would even be good? The guys that made No Man's Sky, if they would do a Firefly style game.
Let them finish No Man's Sky first.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not saying they need to stop, but yeah, I mean, because they have a very good, like,
exploring.
See, why do we keep trying to go back to this word? I don't know. Anyways, but yeah, I think they do really good at, like, making a universe to go out of.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I know they say that they didn't make it, but they made the thing that made it.
Right.
Technically, they are the creators.
Yeah.
But I think that if you gave them enough information, they could basically put all the planets on there, like all the actual planets.
Just
like
from
Persephone,
that solar system.
You know, Miranda, all that stuff. And just kind of like, I think that if they took the basis for it, like say like if you give them Reavers and then let them put that into their engine. And just let their engine randomly drop Reavers into random places.
That'd be cool. So, like, you're like on a planet, and then all of a sudden
they just drop.
You see that ship with the black smoke coming in, and you're just like, we have to go.
Guys, load up. Don't care about the puppies or the children. Just get in the plane. Let's go.
Yeah. See, that's the thing that, I wouldn't mind a structured, scripted pre-Firefly storyline.
Yeah.
So that's why I think BioWare would do something great with it, because the Mass Effect games, man.
You know what else would be a really cool thing to for a game to be made out of is before Firefly, what happens to Mal before Firefly?
Oh,
like the Battle of Serenity
and
all that stuff, like him as a brown coat.
Okay.
And they could just call it brown coat.
That'd be just like a third-person shooter even.
Exactly.
That'd be cool.
They could make that exactly like Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Over the shoulder, just that's who you are exploring you're in the army and you're going from all these, or the rebels, you know, and you're going to all the different planets and you're fighting and stuff. That would be an interesting game.
That would be pretty good. Firefly, man.
Firefly. Great game. I'm still waiting for them to make a good Walking Dead game.
You never played, did you play The Walking Dead season one?
Not the storyline stuff. I mean
like a good,
like you and your buddies get together and
yeah,
you
yeah.
fight all the zombies, like
right?
That sort of thing. That's what I'm going for.
Just wait out for DayZ when it comes to PS4.
Oh God, yes, that's gonna be a great game.
So far down the line, though,
PS4 because
it's still in early access on PC.
PS4 baby.
Oh my gosh! But when that comes out, that's gonna be tons of fun.
Hey man, I got a thing that we need to add to this podcast.
Yeah,
I think that we should do a Kickstarter for you to get your PlayStation.
A Kickstarter.
Or if anybody wants to donate a PlayStation 4 for Joe, hit us up.
Yeah, good luck with that.
People who are listening, like, I'm only listening to this because I don't have any of it.
Dad, they want a PS4!
Oh, man.
gosh.
Actually, I have to update that. Joe needs a PS4 and a TV.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My TV doesn't support HDMI.
Because right now he's filling in.
I'd be slumming, man.
Right now Joe's filling in my third slot on Destiny on my profile so he can play it.
With an awesome warlock.
A woman warlock.
Chick warlock.
Looks good, too.
Yeah.
She looks kind of like Femship.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Inspired by. Inspired by Femship. You know what? Like, ever since somebody pointed out to me, like playing as females is fun because, you know, I'm a dude. I'm always going to be a dude.
You want to know what it's like to be a girl, huh, Joe?
No, I just want to see it because, like, you know, it's almost from a different perspective whenever you, like, can choose your gender in a game. Like,
yeah, and you get to see all the
Although in Destiny, perverts, it's not necessarily story-driven. Yeah.
You get to see all the perverts come up to you and
be like,
"This
dude's just checking me out.
Dude,
I'm going to kill him.
Stop it. I'm tired of you looking at me."
Yeah.
Get a feel of how girls really are.
Exactly. But, like, so...
the hard chicks.
So I think I'm going to go... I'll probably end up streaming it too at some point. Maybe some point early next year, I'll do a run through of Mass Effect 2 with them, Shep. See how that goes.
I like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I think I'll do that.
I think you should. That's a good idea. I think that'd be fun. Yeah, so.
Well, those are the game franchises we would wish to reboot. I had so many earlier, but then I just totally
should
have
wrote
blanked.
Them down, man. Dude, I'm just like throwing stuff off the top. I looked up Conker so that I could remember who made it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But other than that, everything else I threw out is just stuff that I think would be fun to do. Cool games that were cool when they came out. I just wish they were a little more, you know.
Oh, I just remembered. Quality. I just remembered what it was. Superman. On the Nintendo 64.
God, no.
I don't want them to remake that game.
Mess it up.
But I want them to make a super... Not those same people. I just want a Superman game. That's all I want.
It's so hard to, like... Superhero games are hard to do. Because for the most part, like, you want them to be awesome and have all this cool stuff. And be able to, like, you know, you get to upgrade your guy and all
right.
that and blah, 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 whatever. But the problem is that when it comes down to superheroes... unless you're like Batman or Tony Stark, where you can have like a cool gadget in your armor a cool gadget in your gadget belt, you have only a select amount of powers or abilities that superhero has.
Right.
So whenever you take a guy like Superman, let's see what all attributes that Superman has. He can fly.
Laser he's vision.
Basically, like made of
steel.
Unbreakable everything.
He can actually
laser vision.
He can
X-ray.
Actually be beat down, though.
He can hear really well, but like you know, and those are just a few examples. But
right.
let's say if that's all he can do, just as an example, then how do you make that stretch out through a whole game? How do you keep people interested in what you're
I know.
Doing?
That's the difficult part. But I think Rocksteady, the guys who made the Batman games, they've shown that they're really good with DC stuff. I would really want them to do a Superman game.
See, but Batman's a little bit easier because you're messing with the, like I said, unless you're Batman or Iron Man.
Right.
Because Batman can always have new gadgets. He can have new things. He can have, you know, a new throwing knife, or he can have a new thing to, like, listen to people. You know, cool stuff like that. And he can upgrade his gadgets. That's the trick to video games nowadays is, what can I upgrade?
Mm-hmm.
I start out as a piece of crap. What can I upgrade? And that's kind of how games work right now. But whenever it comes down to, like, Superman, what is he going to do? Lift weights? Like, there's not much. He's already, perfect. Like, how are you going to upgrade that?
That's
it's really hard.
You have a valid point, but...
That's why a lot of things get messed up.
Right.
Because people will add stuff to what has been, like, decided for 10, 20, 30 years. As, like, this guy is this. This is X. And they're trying to say X plus Y. And you can't do that. You can't add stuff to something that has been a stone for that many years.
Right. But, like, you have a point, but Rocksteady masterfully made you feel like Batman. I feel like they could do the same thing with Superman if they just tried. So far, they're the best Superman or superhero games. So far,
that's another one of those touch and go things. Like they're either gonna they'll either do it really well, or there will just be one thing wrong, one thing, and they will get bashed for that. Because all the and I'm saying this in a good way, but all the nerds out there would just be like, no, that's wrong.
See, like,
you got to be careful because a lot of, I mean, there are people like us who don't care. We're just kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool. They added it. But
see, here's what they do.
The hardcore guys are just going to be like,
Hear me out. This is what they should do. You start the game off as all-powerful Superman, all right?
Okay.
So, if they're following, like, the new Superman trend, getting power from the sun. So, say, like, you're beating the crap out of Lex Luthor at the beginning of the game. That's where it starts.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, somehow Lex Luthor does, like, some, makes it to where there's an eclipse, and it stays as an eclipse. So, like, it just blocks the sun.
Okay.
And Superman can't get his power. So he has to find ways, like, he's not, like, completely human, but he's just, like, downgraded.
Okay.
And so he has to find some ways to get his power back through radiation or exposure to something or other.
All right.
So, like, you go through these tiers of, like, regaining abilities as Superman.
Okay. I mean, I guess I could see something like that.
Like, that's what they would have to do.
Like set him back so that you can build him back
up. Give him a setback and then show the player a way that he can come around that and then gain his powers back one by one.
I guess I could see that.
And that would make for a really cool Superman story, too. Like, what are you going to do whenever you're missing X or missing Y or Z?
Yeah, when you're missing all your characteristics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that could work. That's kind of a thing, but then I'll even say, to a point, you're still gonna have a problem with that, because then there will be the people that are like, well, I wanted to play as Superman, not this guy that's getting power. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want, if you buy a Superman game, you want to be Superman.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be weak, just got the crap kicked out of you, Superman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I agree.
Well, those people
should
get over it.
Yeah, I think it can be a good game. I'm just giving you the views that probably will come up.
Right.
Like,
well, then
you
at
know
the end of the
people,
game, you get to just be Superman. How about that?
If they did it like Prototype, where at the end you're like fully decked out and you can just run around or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be like a bad Superman and beat the crap out of people.
Yeah. Or like, you know, I don't know. I just really want a good Superman game. So bad. But we should probably wrap it up here.
I want a Green Lantern game just as bad, but, you know.
Yeah.
Shit in one hand and wish in the other and see
what if they
one
just,
fills up faster.
What if they just did a Justice League game? Like, yo, pick your hero, go take on this guy.
DC Universe
and it's
Online?
Like, and it's co-op. Yeah.
So basically that?
I guess you're right.
That's kind of what they were going for. With
right.
It. But, see, and that actually, that's a great way to be careful about messing up the actual, like, comic book superheroes is don't let you play with them.
Yeah. DC Universe knew
that
what
way
they were
they
doing.
Can be perfect.
Exactly.
They'll always be perfect in that game.
Gosh.
Except for, like, when you have to go rescue them because they've been captured. Come on, man.
Superman.
Come on.
I know those green handcuffs aren't holding you in. Come
yeah,
on.
Like, seriously. Even if Superman had kryptonite handcuffs, all he'd have to do is be like, hey, Batman! Can you come get these things off of me?
I've got my decrypto spray.
Yeah, like the shark repellent.
Oh, no, that's the shark repellent. Crap. But, yeah. That's been another episode of the Couch Co-op Podcast.
Good talk.
Good one.
Good talk.
This is a fun one. So, all you listeners out there, be sure to go check out couchcoop.net. And if you like the site and like this podcast, please consider going to the About CCE page and click the donate to Couch Co-op button.
Yeah, because we need new mics.
Yeah. If you could see what we're using right now, it's pretty hilarious. But
well, if you post
the selfie,
yeah,
you'll probably
be
able
to
tell. But so if you like the podcast and appreciate our content, please show us that appreciation by donating and helping us improve the website altogether.
By giving us money.
Exactly. Not selfish at all.
No.
Shameless plug. You can follow us on Twitter at couchco_op. You can also follow us on our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/couchco_op. You can follow you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. See the trailers we put up and whatnot at youtube.com/couchcoopgaming. And you can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/couchcoopgaming. So, to all the listeners out there, thank you very much for listening. This has been episode 11 of the Couch Co-op Podcast. So we've made it this far.
Bye, guys.
And we're out.